JC Corcoran Podcast.
Just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Tuesday, February 21st, 2023. Only 37 days until opening day. I think it was all day on Friday. I said 37 days until pitchers and catchers report. See, force of habit there. Force of habit, but it's 37 days until opening day. Hi, kids. You are at jcontheline.com. All right, it's Fat Tuesday. I've only done the real Mardi Gras thing once. It was back in the 90s, and we actually, to be honest, we bailed out on Fat Tuesday. But, what people don't know is they have a lot of really, really big Mardi Gras parades in the, I guess it was the week or so leading up to the actual Mardi Gras. So there's plenty to see. You know, you get the beads and everything, but the food. The food. Oh, you know, whenever I would travel back in those days, I would always talk to Jay Randolph first. Jay Randolph, America's guest. He knew everything about every good restaurant in every city. I remember when I went to Toronto for the first time with money in my pocket. I'd been to Toronto many times before because I lived in Buffalo, New York, and we would always swing around. It was about an hour and 20 minutes to swing around Lake Erie there and come up and pop into Toronto, and you would be on the QE2. The QE2 Parkway had, I think it was not, there was no real speed limit. Nothing that I could see that they enforced. And so you could go like 110 miles an hour on the QE2 going in, and you know, you'd be from Buffalo into Toronto in, you know, an hour and 20 minutes. And so I was up there many times, but I didn't have any money. But now it's the 80s, I'm making money, and I tell Jay Randolph, I'm going to Toronto. I'm trying to remember what it was for. It was for a movie junket, I remember. Why they were having it in Canada, I don't recall. I have to go back and look at my records. But anyhow, so I said to him, you know, where to go? He's like, Lee Chi Gardens. Like, really? That sounds Chinese. He goes, yeah, but it's Americanized, and also they have guys singing Frank Sinatra stuff in the restaurant. And so I was like, that's good enough for me. So I went in there, and they served me a tureen of Chinese food. I was just like, ordered the mugu gai pan or something, just be on the safe side because I didn't, you know, never been there before. But they come out with this thing that was enough food for four people. I ended up taking a lot of it back to the hotel, which I was never able to even eat because there was so much food on these movie junkets anyway. So a lot of it got wasted. But it was a very, very pleasant experience. So when I knew I was going to, this was my first marriage, I was going to New Orleans. And again, I proceed to Jay Randolph, who says, well, you know, you got to do breakfast at Brennan's because that's sort of like a thing. That's a rite of passage. You have to do it. It's on the bucket list. Go ahead and do it. Breakfast at Brennan's. You did that. That's fine. For my money, that was not a huge deal, but it's just something you have to say you did. But he said, go to Commander's Palace. Commander's Palace, I believe, is one of the five-star restaurants in New Orleans, at least it was at the time. I mean, since then, you've got, you know, Paul Prudhomme doing all this sort of stuff. But this is where, what's his name? The Bam guy. Oh, shoot. Who am I thinking of? Jimmy Buffett's friend. Emeril Lagasse. Emeril Lagasse. So he was, I guess, technically, he must have been working there at the time because he didn't really come into prominence on a solo deal until years later. So he must have still been there at Commander's Palace.
Chef Emeril Lagasse. How you doing, Chef? Years ago, a friend of mine had worked on the air in New Orleans, and he said, you got to go to Commander's Palace. And in fact, I went to Commander's Palace, and did they bring everybody through the kitchen on the way to their seat, to their table, or was that just me?
You know, I started there in 1982. You know, I'll never forget my first time when I went through the kitchen with Ella Brennan, and it's like, wow, and look at all these great smells, and it's kind of like my mom's kitchen. It smells so good in here. But that's it. You got to go through the kitchen to get to the bar, and then you kind of wait until you get to your table. It was a great, great 7.5 years being there. And I left in late 89. Ella is still my dear friends, like my mom, and Commander's a wonderful restaurant. So New Orleans is just a great eating town.
Yeah, I had the bread pudding and everything, too, which was absolutely required as your dessert when you go there. We're always making fun of Karen's cooking.
Uh-huh.
And then the sports guy, Brian McKenna, didn't even know that they sell cooked chickens at the supermarket. We just told him about that about 2 weeks ago. For people who don't really know their way around a kitchen particularly well, so what advice would you give somebody who's just trying to get going and maybe trying to learn a little bit about cooking?
All right, you ready, JC?
Yeah.
Here we go. You got to have a stock pantry. And don't, like, you know, it's not rocket science. You know, don't like, try to, like, do too much. But people, they make the mistake, they don't have a food plan, and then they get some recipe, and then they, like, they don't read it, so they don't know what they're shopping for. Then when they get home, they don't know what they're supposed to cook. Relax and don't complicate it. Don't overcomplicate it. And that's what I tell people.
Thank you.
What about equipment and utensils?
You got to have a good knife, and you got to at least have a good saute pan. You know,
in my case, a good fire extinguisher.
And a fire extinguisher might help.
And a stomach
Karen,
pump.
I'm coming to St. Louis really soon, Karen. And I'm coming by. Are you married?
Yes, I'm married. So are you? But that's
too.
Okay.
No, I am too. But I'm coming by. I'm giving you Emerald 101.
I love it.
I'm going to straighten you out so you can straighten these damn guys up.
Thank you.
And let me tell you something. You don't have to, like, build rocket ships to say, bam, don't be a closet bammer. Come on out. Feel the love. That's what I say.
Thanks, Emeril. Good luck to you.
Bye, JC.
Talk about a great guy and a guy who understands why he's doing interviews in the first place. You know, some of these people interview me, go, do you understand why you're here? But he gets it. He gets it. Good guy. Temperatures in the upper 30s, low 40s for the most part across the region today. Be thankful for that because it was on this date. Well, now, why do I have that written down? That's the 28th, not the 21st. I think I got my dates goofed up here because I have the Perryville tornado written down here from 6 years ago. That's on the 28th. Well, anyhow. Hello. Hello. These fucking phone calls from people who are calling you on a recorded line. So it's not even a human being. You go, hello, and there's nothing there. You're getting ready to hang up. And then, like, the computer kicks in and then says, hello. And you're like, hello. And you don't realize Like talking to a fucking parrot. You don't really realize that you're not talking to a human being. You're talking to a computer. You go, hi, this is Sarah on a recorded line. Can you hear me okay? At which point I just hang up. But what an annoyance. I don't know if you get these as much as I do, but it's enough to drive you crazy. I don't care who they are. I don't care what they want. Once I hear you're on a recorded line, click. Goodbye. It does not work on me. So fuck you. Leave me alone. I don't even remember. Where was I? Something truly funny happened the other night. I'm at a restaurant bar on Friday night, Italian place, by myself. I just needed to get away and have an hour or two just to sit at a bar, have a glass of wine, watch golf on TV there at the bar, have an Italian meal, and just take my sweet time. So that's what I did on Friday night. And a woman is sitting next to me at the bar, and we just start chit-chatting. And she's 48 years old and has had 25 cancer-related surgeries. 25. And, you know, I'm sort of looking at her in the corner of my eye like, are you making this up? But her two daughters were working the bar, and they sort of confirmed the whole thing. And I was like, wow, wow. So later on, a whole bunch more people showed up at the bar, and it got into one of these things where we were talking about age and ageism and things like that. And it was one of these deals where people started trying to guess one another's ages. So like five people would get together and then try to guess your age. And then that person would join another five people. And you'd try to guess the age of one of the other people sitting there at the bar. And everybody was doing miserably. They guessed my age, by the way, at 56. See, I got good genes from my dad. But that's crazy. I mean, they were more than 10 years off. Because as everybody knows, I'm going to be 39 this year. So, hey, I can pretend if I want. Age is a state of mind anyhow. By the way, I don't know if you saw this thing. One of these scientific websites, you know, they keep trying to explain where we are, how we got here. And there's some people who are saying that, you know, we're in some sort of a cone now. And that there's not really any such thing as time. It's just something we've assigned to the passing of the moments. Way back when, at the sort of the dawn of man, they were trying to figure out, well, you know, we got to figure out some way to organize all this. We know that the sun comes up every day, 24 hours apart, so let's assign like a unit measure to that. But really, it was all created by man. So now, as we're getting, you know, deeper into deep space with the Hubble and the Webb, they're like, all right, wait a minute, we're starting to find things out. At least we think now that maybe there wasn't some sort of big boom that just spread everything all over the place, which is what we've primarily believed up until now, but that it's actually in basically a cone, almost like a horn of plenty, and we're just sort of spinning around in that thing. I don't know. But the most interesting thing I saw, sort of an offshoot of all of this, is that there's no such thing as death. Your physical body might cease to exist, but you're basically still alive in some sort of spirit or, you know, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, 1,000th dimension of some sort. And I want to believe that. I want to believe that because I've long suspected that maybe there's something to that, that maybe our physical bodies are only part of our overall existence. That's why I never give up. That's why I never give up. That's why I try to make myself better every day. Try to learn at least one new thing every day. I don't subscribe to that idea of life sucks and then you die. I think life sucks, then you die, but then somehow you still go on in some fashion. And people who think they're experiencing encounters with ghosts or UFOs or something like that, what you're really just doing is somehow crossing signals or crossing wires with another dimension from time to time. And I don't think our brains as human beings in 2023 are anywhere near big enough or sophisticated enough to be able to sort this out and make sense of the whole thing. But I've long suspected that there's something to it. And like I said, that's why I figure at the end of the human life span, you know, whether it's, you know, 60, 70, 80, 90, whatever it is, that maybe it's not really that unlike the Albert Brooks movie, Defending Your Life, where you end up in Judgment City and, you know, somehow you're being judged as to, you know, what the next step in your evolution is. Now, this could all be crap. It could all be crap. Let's sort of rather, you know, err on the side of caution. It's like people who become very religious, whether it's at the very beginning of their life and they do it their entire lives, or sometimes people are on their deathbed, and that happened to my grandfather. My grandfather was on his deathbed and decided to get religion. I guess he just figured, I want to be on the safe side. What have I got to lose, right? But if you can think that, well, you can certainly leave yourself at least open to the idea that there's something to this whole thing I'm just talking about. But anyway, so we're sitting there at the bar and guessing each other's ages and all that sort of stuff. And we were talking about, you know, becoming better as human beings. The woman sitting next to me, who was very nice, and she's talking about how she was trying to learn some new languages from that lady on the internet. And I said to her, that lady on the internet. She goes, yeah, you know, the lady on the internet who teaches. She, you know, you get these things, and then she teaches you how to speak a foreign language. I'm like, I don't know who you're talking about. A lady on the, yeah, you know, it's that lady. We go around and around like this for like 4 or 5 minutes, and finally she Googles it, and she goes, yeah, Rosetta Stone. And I had to be the one to explain to her that Rosetta Stone is not a person. It's not the female voice of the woman teaching you the languages. And I had to explain to her what Rosetta Stone really was. I felt really bad afterwards, but what are you going to do? As long as we're correcting people, Jesus, have you seen all my Facebook stuff the last week or so? Channel 4 particularly is on fire with the misspellings. They can't spell anything. And I really do appreciate when you send me those screenshots of the mistakes. Channel 4, they all do it. 5 does it real bad. 2 is not as bad. But 4 is just, I don't know who they have in there. But then again, you start asking questions about who is getting hired at television stations these days. Anyhow, you want to go over to Channel 5? Let's join Brent Solomon. You're like, Brent Solomon, the guy who made those other flubs? It's like, yeah, that guy. Well, let's go see what Brent has to say now.
I'm Brent Solomon. That disturbing discovery happening this morning at the Principia Lower School. I'm Brent Solomon.
I never miss a Brent Solomon newscast on Channel 5 on the weekends anymore, because it's almost guaranteed that you're going to get something. And if it's not him, it's somebody else. Take it away, Travis.
Travis Cummings, 5, on your side. The Blues sent Vladimir Tarasenko to the New York Giants. Travis Cummings, 5, on your side.
All right, Travis, thanks.
Interesting, they sent Vladimir Tarasenko to the New York Giants. I think he's going to be greatly hindered trying to play football on skates. Oh, God. Also, it's Ukraine, accent on the second syllable. It's not Ukraine. And I hear people do that on the internet. I hear people do that on television and network TV. Well, it's a situation in Ukraine. Who are you, Buford Pusser? It's Ukraine. Ukraine. You wouldn't walk around saying YouTube. I saw this really interesting thing on YouTube. YouTube. Okay, in that case, the accent's on the first syllable. These things matter. St. Louis Battlehawks. Guy scores a touchdown on Saturday, runs over to the sidelines with the ball to keep it as a souvenir, and the referee yells out, hey, we need that back! Actually, I kid the XFL. It's pretty close to NFL football. It's sloppy, and the guys aren't as quick, and they're, you know, the action isn't as crisp as what you see in the NFL. But I've seen some pretty sloppy NFL games too, where you're looking around going, who is there a coach here? But people seem to really be into this whole thing, and you know, caca is the law. It was on this date in 1998 that I accompanied a young man by the name of Mark Close for his first trip to New York. It was the Grammys in 1998, and that's where we had an encounter with Leslie Stahl in the lobby of the CBS News building. Close thought I was scaring her by talking to her. But yeah, it was Mark's first trip to New York, so I sort of showed him around, having been there at that point. I mean, I had been to New York like 200 times doing those movie junkets. So I took him around. We saw as much stuff. He wanted to see Times Square. He wanted to see the Today Show thing, you know, where you get to stand outside and sort of look in. So we did all that, and then we did interviews. That's, I still remember that year we had Heidi Klum on the air. We had Alan Coulter, the announcer for David Letterman at the time. A couple of rock and roll bands, stuff like that for Grammy week. It was fun. And my pal Gene Siskel. passed away on this date in 1999. Gene Siskel did not get along with everybody. Some people really did not like him. He had a tendency to be a little on the gruff side, but for some reason, there was something he liked about me, and we would go to visit him in Chicago all the time during the Cubs-Cardinal weekends in Chicago. And, you know, so like when Hail, Hail, Rock and Roll, the Chuck Berry movie that was shot at the Fox Theater, you know, we got an advance review of that because I called him up and I said, everybody in St. Louis is itching to know how the movie turned out. It doesn't open here for a couple of weeks, but you've already seen it because I had seen something in the paper where he had mentioned something about it. He goes, I don't usually do this, but I'm going to do it for you guys. And he gave us a little thumbnail review of Hail, Hail, Rock and Roll, the tribute to Chuck Berry. And like I said, he could be on the gruff side, but he if you saw him on Letterman along with Roger Ebert, you knew that he also liked to screw around and that he had a pretty good sense of humor and really enjoyed a good joke. And I got him on one.
The A-List Interview with JC and the Morning Show, Graham.
Gene Siskel on his 22nd anniversary of Siskel and Ebert at the movies.
You know, the cool thing always to say is, hey, we wish you another 22.
Roger and I have always had this fantasy, you know, that if we did another 22, we would have attendant nurses behind us giving our reviews. Probably the nurses would start talking and be a whole lot more interesting than we were, and that would be the show.
I know how you could end the show. You could say, and until then, the balcony is accessible.
Very, very good. Don't be again. Too clever or I'll have to get rid of Roger.
Thanks, Gene.
A pleasure, JC, always.
Yeah, Gene Siskel passing away on this date in 1999. There's nobody really doing that anymore. I mean, there's a million movie critics. Everybody's a movie critic now. If you've got a laptop and you've seen a movie, you're a movie critic. But nobody doing it on that level. It's a shame. By the way, I sort of glossed over this a little bit. This weather situation around midnight tonight across the Midwest and certainly in the St. Louis region, it could really, really rock. Right, there's going to be one wave that will go in a little earlier, but then the second wave that goes through around midnight could be an issue with high winds and possible tornadoes and hail and all that stuff. So be on your toes on that one. CNN's Don Lemon will undergo some sort of formal training before returning to the air tomorrow. I have to be honest, I couldn't believe what he said. Yeah, I'm not going to go through the whole thing again. But I will say this, that to some extent, I think you got to cut him a little slack because it sounds like something a gay man would say. Where he was talking, well, I got to explain it. He was talking about Nikki Haley, who's running for president. And something about, you know, being in her prime, you know, she's in her prime. And you're like, hey, you're 51 years old. You're not in your prime. Women are in their prime in their 20s and 30s. That's what it says in the dictionary. That's what it says according to Google. And so she's 51. She's saying she's in her prime. Well, the female co-hosts just leaned back in their chairs. They're like, you're on your own on this one. I don't even want to be in the frame with you because you're going down, sucker. And they just had this look on their faces like, you're going to go to HR. So he's been off the air since then, but I think he'll make it. We only talk about politics here when it's absolutely unavoidable. And that is this moment right now, because this thing that Biden did yesterday, it's amazing because even the Republican publications, the magazines and the newsletters and the newspapers and the websites and everything that never say anything good about Democrats or especially Joe Biden were like, hey, that was some shit. That was some balls yesterday with him taking a 10-hour train ride in complete secrecy. They even had the president and the first lady having dinner out on Friday night so that nobody would know what was going on. Apparently, only a handful of staffers knew that they were going to do this. And they fly, and then they get on a plane, a train, and then the next thing you know, he's popping up in a news conference sitting there with Zelensky, and everybody's looking around going, hey! And it's being compared to, you know, stuff from World War II where Winston Churchill would be strolling around. But he's out there walking around. There's air raid sirens going. And Biden is just like, yeah, air raid sirens don't scare me. I got to deal with Marjorie Taylor Greene all day. A new study says it takes less than 5 seconds to determine if you like a song, which means that we, quote, respond more to the general vibe that the song brings to us rather than its musical notes per se. All right, whatever. Stand-up special from Kathleen Madigan. It's called Hunting Bigfoot. It's on Amazon starting today. Wanda Sykes, I'm with Jimmy Kimmel. Colbert's got Pink. Hot off the Russian elongated unintentional vacation. Brittany Griner has signed a one-year deal with the Phoenix Mercury. All right, birthdays today. Blanket Jackson, 21. Sophie Turner from Game of Thrones, 27. Ashley Green likes to take her shirt off. And a grateful nation thanks you, Ashley, 36. Wow, only 36. Jordan Peele of Key and Peele fame, two of the funniest people on the planet right now, is 44. Jennifer Love Hewitt, 44. Make your own jokes. Kelsey Grammer, 68. William L. Peterson, Gil Grissom on CSI, and also one of the stars of Long Gone, a movie about minor league baseball back in the 1950s in the Cardinal organization. As a matter of fact, is presented. Also, Virginia Madsen's mammary glands are presented. She plays a character in the movie by the name of Dixie Lee Box. If you get a chance to see Long Gone, it's actually pretty good. Tyne Daly from Judging Amy and Cagney and Lacey 77. David Geffen co-founded DreamWorks with Steven Spielberg and Jeffrey Katzenberg. He's 80 today. Alka-Seltzer, first introduced to the general public on this date 92 years ago. And you know, Juliana Margulies from ER, her dad helped come up with the plop, plop, fizz, fizz, oh, what a relief it is ad campaign. Edward Land demonstrated the first self-developing instant camera on this date back in 1947 and accidentally invented instant amateur pornography moments later. NASCAR founded on this date in 48. Malcolm X assassinated on this date in 65. 1 million years BC, starring the recently departed Raquel Welch, released on this date in 1966. The minimum annual salary for Major League Baseball players became $10,000 on this date in 1968. This year, by the way, it's $700,000. 9.5 weeks, Kim Basinger and Mickey Rourke. And if you've seen him lately, it's another guy who spent a little too much time at the plastic surgery clinic. Anyhow, that was released on this date in 86. You could leave your hat on. And Jimmy Swaggart, on this date in 1988, confessed to fornicating with a hooker by the name of Deborah Murphy. She described Swaggart as cheap and quick. That's how you want to be known. It's National Pancake Day, or is it? It's always on Fat Tuesday, but for some reason, IHOP is celebrating it next Tuesday at this time. There's also another National Pancake Day in September, so it effectively means we have three National Pancake Days this year. We knew AI would come for all of our jobs eventually, but it's happening faster than we think. The Washington Post did a big write-up on how companies are now using artificial intelligence to choose who gets laid off. For example, AI can compare skill sets and weed people out. It can also predict a person's flight risk, meaning will they take a job and jump ship a year later? But it's not good at everything yet. It might not recognize that a company has issues with discrimination, so it could automatically assume women and people of color are more likely to jump ship. In other words, things could be really dicey if HR starts blindly following its advice without questioning it. So in other words, you might have a situation where the HR machine might have to go see HR. And you knew this was coming out of Florida, but there is a surprise, a little bit of a twist in here. It sort of seems cruel when, you know, you're driving along and it's a nice day outside and you roll down the window and a dog stick its head out the window because it has like, I don't know, something like 160 million sensory units on its nose, and that dog is sniffing everything, and dogs just seem to enjoy doing it. Florida considering a new law that would make it illegal to let your dog stick its head out the window while you're driving. For example, it would also, this law, make declawing cats illegal in the state of Florida, and it would also bar people from driving with pets on their lap. Oh, and also it would ban the sale of rabbits in the lead up to Easter because so many people abandon them later on. And like I said, a little bit of a twist here. This is from a Democrat in Florida. The Republicans have to deal with Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert and those crazies. And the Democrats have to deal with woke goofballs like this. With regard to cats, all it's going to do is make people be less likely to adopt a cat, because you bring a cat in the house and it's not declawed, it'll ruin everything. Somebody a couple of years ago decided that declawing cats was inhumane. I've had cats my entire life. It ain't inhumane. If you get a cat and then declaw it and then let it outside, yeah, then you're an idiot, because the cat can't defend itself. 1 in 4 people in England have broken a bed during sex. 4 in 4 Americans have broken a bed during breakfast. I made that up. And a study finds that penis length has grown 24% over the past 30 years. The study has a margin of error plus or minus the guy in the Corvette next to you. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Tuesday, February 21st, 2023 is in the can. 37 days until opening day. Watch out for these storms later on today and especially overnight around midnight. Not looking very inviting. Then it's going to get real cold for a couple days, and then it's going to get warm again towards the end of the weekend and the first part of next week. We'll get there. We'll get there. Don't forget, you can follow me on Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. You may email me at any time, jc@jconline.com. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.